Welcome to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
Welcome back, ladies of Liverpool. Hope you've had the best Christmas ever and you're all looking forward to the new year. So it's been a busy one for me. I am planning on doing that one step I've put. If you've seen my things to do before your 40 article at ladiesofliverpool.com, I am planning to go away and tick that box and spend New Year's Eve abroad. But right now I'm here with you and we're going to have an absolute laugh. So if you've got a good 20 minutes to have a listen to this episode, you are going to howl. We're talking about Mr. T and the scandal he caused when he came to Liverpool and told everyone how much he loves Scousers socks. We're going to also talk about Scouser Georgia, who threw a hot wet flannel over the face of Bette Lynch from Corrie in a Chinese restaurant in West Derby, and how a lovely lady Liverpool was serenaded in a back street alley in St. Helens in the rain by a massive American star. Here we go.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
So I'm a bit excited because I'm going to absolutely love this. And I think more so because I don't know what exactly is going to happen, because what you're listening to right now is two mates sat with microphones talking about stuff that could get them into trouble. So I've got with me right now the one and only Chantal Nolan. We've been mates since we were kiddies, but she is the theatre manager. She's the producer, director, the ice cream buyer, the costume fixer. She is everything in charge of the Theatre Royal St. Helens. She does it all, and she does it all mainly over Christmas when everyone else is trying to chill out. Yeah. Chantal, thank you for joining us. I want to start off firstly by saying your panto is still running. So Peter Pan at St. Helens Theatre Royal.
Yeah.
When's it until?
Sunday the 13th of Jan. We've got two shows that day and then it's finished and I get my life back.
I know. Well, it must be madness. So you have all these big celebs that come into town.
Yeah.
So not only are you like producing the show, make sure everyone knows the songs and the words and they're dressed in the right costumes and sort and the lights and the microphones. You probably don't know, listening to this now, what this job entails, because I don't think anyone else in any other theatre around the world does all of these jobs.
No, I mean, I'm the theatre manager and then I produce and direct the pantos, but I don't want to sound like big-headed, but I do everything. So I cast from the very, very onset of the panto. I start the casting process. I go in with the costume designers and tell them what I want. Yeah. I sit and do the lighting.
Are you there for every show? Because when I bring the kids,
I'm always there, yeah. My little boy, I drag him now. Good job he likes panto, because he has to sit at the back all the time and watch every single show. He knows all the words by the end of it.
Well, your Jensen is five now.
Yeah.
And he is exactly what I thought my kids would be. He'll jump on the stage, he'll do the song sheet, he's dead comfy with it. My two kids, considering like they've been backstage at the Empire all their lives, or the Echo Arena while I've been there the last few years, even when I've done shows for you at the Theatre Royal, it's not like they're scared. They just have this block on it where they don't want to love panto.
No. They love watching it, don't they? They love going to watch it, all of them.
In their own little way.
And they like you to go as a mum. They don't want you to go as Leanna does the pantos. They like you to go as the mum and enjoy the panto with them.
That's dead right.
But Jensen doesn't get that, unfortunately. But he goes with Mark, my husband, and watches. He sometimes comes and watches our other shows that are on tour and stuff like that, other pantos.
It's like you, because you're from a panto background. Your mum was the big producer of the Empire Pantos back in the day.
Yeah.
So you grew up being involved from the very beginning. And you were on stage because that's how we sort of become friends. Yeah. We were two little baby dancers on the Empire.
My first panto was when I was four, the Mr. T panto in the Empire. Mm-hmm. But the year before that, my mum was assistant director for Ray Cornell years ago.
Yeah.
And she couldn't get a babysitter and I was three. Mm-hmm. So she said to the main director then, can I bring Chantal to rehearsals till about 3 o'clock? And my husband will come and pick her up.
Yeah.
And he was like, he was so over the top and flamboyant. He went, love, as long as she doesn't make any noise. And my mum was like, no, honestly, she's really good. And I was a really good child as well, you know, like bandbox baby, not like my sister.
Unlike
she came out
George,
like a rugrat.
Yeah.
Anyway, so panto rehearsals were on. Claire Sweeney was in that show.
So it was Brookside Days.
Yeah, it was Babes in the Woods. And I sat under the director's table. She said, I didn't move one muscle from 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. We had a dinner break and all that. And I was just loving it, watching, you know, the development of how the studio rehearsals go and stuff like that.
Tiny baby.
I was three. And I watched the whole thing and everyone was going, oh, isn't she well behaved? And everyone was like, yes, it's how you bring them up and all that. You know, the way.
Did you know George was around the corner?
George was around the corner. And anyway, my dad turned up at 3 o'clock. Well, I kicked and screamed and said, I don't want to leave. I don't want to go. And it was the first first time, everyone was like, oh, she hasn't said a word all day. And I think my mum thought that from the offset then. Yeah. I must have had an interest in it.
That's so bizarre. But, yeah.
I was a weird child though as well. I used to watch black and white Fred Astaire movies instead of cartoons. I'm watching all the dancing and everything like that. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was always in my blood.
So, like we say, it's been right through your childhood, this whole panto theme. And now you look at your Christmases and where, you know, sometimes it's all I've known since a young age as well, as panto. Our November, December, January is totally different to most people's. When it comes to Christmas, when do you start your Christmas shopping? And
I don't know. Thank God you can buy things online now, because I literally don't have a minute to go to the shops. Mm-hmm. And with being in St Helens, the shops are all right, but it's not like love coming to Liverpool city centre.
Yeah.
And I just don't have the chance. So most of it I buy online, or I try and wait till the panto's at least open.
Yeah.
And then I might get a few minutes just to pop and get a little bit. But since I was born, every year it's just been panto. And because, like, my mum was producing them as well, the prep starts so much earlier. So you're literally from November. That our life, all our lives, me and my sister, has been panto.
Well, do you know what I love about your family dinners are? It's obviously, like, I think it's probably one of the few days of the year when we don't see each other as mates. Yeah. And we look at each other's Facebook and we're there from the beginning, aren't we, with our kids, don't know the presents. Yeah. And if you look at both of our Facebook pages, you'll see us, like, commenting on each other's pictures right through the whole day. And when it comes to Christmas dinner, when I look at your Christmas dinner around the table, when you're in your mum's, so year on, year off, you never know who's going to be there. Was it not last year, the year before? Oh. And you had half a towie sat round your Christmas table. You had Amy Childs
and Harry.
And little Harry.
Well, they were in the panto at Christmas, and we did originally say to them, do you want to come to ours for Christmas dinner? Because we wouldn't ever leave any of the celebs that can't get home on Christmas Day.
And you forget about them. They're stuck in a hotel.
They're stuck in a hotel or theatre digs. And we just said, you know, we're not having you on your own. Do you want to come to ours for Christmas dinner? We've got the doors open for anyone who wants to come. And they were like, no, don't worry. We've booked in the hotel. We're doing like a Christmas Day thing.
Yeah.
So she was pregnant at the time as well. She wasn't having a drink. So God love her when she came to us. We were all sloshed. But they really appreciated just having some family around them on Christmas Day, because they were just sat in a hotel room. They'd had the dinner. It was lovely. They said, and they'd gone back to the hotel room. And then I texted and said, do you fancy coming to ours still for a drink? And they were like, yeah, straight away. So they're in ours. So we're putting pictures up on Facebook of Towie Cast in ours on Christmas Day.
It's people couldn't believe it.
But it meant so much to them. And I feel like with our panto cast, and it goes through any panto we have, we really try and make it a family feel. Mm-hmm. We're a family run company.
Definitely.
And we want everyone to feel relaxed, you know, whether the biggest star in the country or whether they're just one of the dancers, you know, we wouldn't leave anyone on their own on Christmas Day.
And don't you feel you get the best out of your shows? I think when I go, because now I'm at the arena, I get to see the pantos, because I'll be taking my kids next week and the week after, and I think you get that feel off the stage. The show's just a better show when everyone's loving each other, and you know, they're the best of friends, and you have those certain pantos when you look back at them, the ones that really stand out, that you would give your left leg to go and do that panto season again. And it's all based on the people, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, definitely, all the cast meals they go on and, fun things.
That, sadly, the audience don't get to
see. I know.
They're probably, like, the best
thing. A funny story, actually. Going back to the Mr. T panto, he wanted to go bowling with all the cast from the panto.
Right.
So they closed Hollywood Bowl late at night.
On Edge Lane.
After a 7 o'clock show. So it was about 10:30. And he said, I want everyone to go for bowling together. So the whole company went to the bowling alley.
Yeah.
And he really liked me dad, like I said earlier. And me dad's just like, works on a building site, you know, so he's got to be up dead early and on the site for whatever, 6:30. So, my mum was going, oh, Barry, you're going to have to come to the... Mr T really wants you. He was going, oh, hey, Jane, you know, I've got to be on site in the morning.
Yeah.
So it's like 2 o'clock in the morning and they're all still in the bowling alley having drinks and all that, but they closed the whole bowling alley for them. But that's one of the company camaraderie type of nights out and things that make a cast a real good, give it a good bond.
Yeah, and makes it better on stage.
Yeah,
it definitely does. So going back to when we were kids, so picture the scene, you were there within Chantel's house in West Derby. And we're playing Doll's House, and we come down the stairs. You leg it into the kitchen to go and get a biscuit off Jane Chantel's mum, and Mr T's sat there having a cup of tea with the shoes off.
Yeah.
That was your childhood and ours, because we were your mates. And you look back at that, and do you think now, when you see your Jensen seeing these people off the telly, whether it's off CBeebies and you've got them in the panto, and he's so used to this, how sort of blessed are kids in that environment?
And they don't realise, do they? God loves them.
It means not an awful lot to them. The mates must be overwhelmed
when
they hear about it, because our mates are always buzzing with it, weren't they? But when it's you, you know, when you look back now, What was the most bizarre moment in your house when it comes to having celebrities around?
Could be all kinds. We had Julie Goodyear had just come off Corrie. Bette Lynch. And she was mega famous, you know, like Corrie was at the height then. And we took her to the local Chinese restaurant because she was in the middle of Pantu season and she'd come to ours. And she just wanted to just go for a little Chinese.
So did you go the one facing all
the Orchard Garden, yeah. And they sat us like round the corner, but people were staring over. But as kids, like, we just thought she was just normal, you know, like, and we were like, why are people looking over? We didn't understand. Me and my sister actually threw, oh God, this is terrible. Oh, Georgia was dead naughty. And Julie was getting concerned that people were noticing her and stuff like that. And they started to come over and ask for pictures and all.
She was getting unsettled.
And she said to me, Dad, I think I need to get out of here. And Georgia said, oh, shut up, you're not that famous. And flew through one of the hot flannels you get to wipe your hands in her face. And it landed on her face and like dripped down like water. And she went, well, no one's ever done that to me before.
And do you know what? This is what you get told time and time again when you're working with big celebs from outside of Liverpool. They just love it here. So whether it's the Towie lot, they bond, they come up all the time, don't they?
Yeah.
Or you've got, you know, people from Corrie or from America, from your Mr. T's of the world, your big soap stars from, you know, from Australia back in the day when Neighbours was huge. And they all just love Liverpool.
And Scousers
and their sense of humour and that. We're just not fazed.
Because we're just normal. Yeah. And like you say, not fazed.
It takes a lot, doesn't it, to rock
to
us.
To faze us,
it really does.
Ladies of Liverpool.
So the list is endless of the celebrities you've brought into St. Helens. Mm. Probably people who never dreamt they'd be living in St. Helens for Christmas.
I know.
Which is just fantastic, isn't it?
And so my dad's got a house up at the back that he rents out, and sometimes we have to throw them in there if we can't get them any other things.
In those little terraced houses.
Little terraced houses at the back of Vincent Street.
So you could like be waking up over the new year, just walking down that street, coming out your house in that street and seeing, what's her name, Christina.
Rhiannon. I thought it was Rhiannon, but when she did the Panto advert, she said Rhiannon.
Oh, so
she's Russian, isn't she? So
she is. So she's from Strictly.
Yeah.
So she's prancing about the stage this year.
Tinkerbell. She's absolutely lovely.
You've got our very own Lewis, haven't you?
I know.
So Mick Johnson from Brooklyn. Yeah. He's a good mate of ours. He's fantastic. He's probably one of my favourite people I've ever worked with.
Yeah.
So everyone's lucky to be working. She's so lucky to have him on side. But the list is endless. You've had loads of celebs. Talk us through some of your favourites that you've had and some of the fun stuff maybe that you've done with them and like the not so fun stuff.
Okay. So we had John Bishop in Panto years ago before he became the big John Bishop comic.
So was that when he was on Radio City?
Yeah, he was doing the Sunday afternoon
shows, and he was a stand-up comic round the clubs and pubs.
Yeah, but he hadn't like broke out. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he did Panto. He didn't even know what Panto was. He just turned up and he kind of didn't get it. He'd never been to one, and I was like, have you never been to Panto? Anyway, we were in the Royal Court and I was actually playing the Wicked Queen and he was playing Herman the Henchman.
Yeah.
So in between shows, everyone goes off on the merry way, gets the dinner, blah blah blah, comes back. You've got to be back by your half hour call,
of course,
which is 35 minutes before the show. No John Bishop. 1:45, show started on the hour, no John Bishop. Oh, so we're trying to ring him, no answer. Trying to ring him, no answer. Eventually got through and I went, John, where are you? He went, I'm at Anfield. What? The show started 2:00? Yeah, I'm not on for the first half an hour. It doesn't matter, theatre rules say you've got to be in the building for your half hour call. Oh, I didn't realise. Don't worry, I'll jump a cab now. Hold the curtain. So he walks in the Royal Court at 10:10 and we're like maniacs. We've got the front of house staff screaming.
The hello, audience.
The audience wondering what's going on. He walks in and he has a big overcoat on. I went, quick, let's get your costume. He went, don't worry, girl. Look at this. He opens his Mac and his full Herman the Henchman costume was on underneath with his microphone and all. He went, I told you I'd be ready.
So he'd literally gone the match with his mic on the lot and just stepped on stage when he got
full
back.
Full thing, yeah. And he couldn't understand because he's not a theatre person. Yeah. He didn't understand what the problem was because he'd gone ready. He knew he could be back in time and he'd gone to watch Liverpool at Anfield.
I haven't heard that story.
Yeah.
That's a great one. One of my favourites, and every time we have a bevy.
I reenact
this. Do the David Guest scenario. So she has David Guest. What was he doing? Was it his own show?
Yeah, he did Legends of Soul. So we bring all these old American legends through.
Because it's not just Panto that you do. That theatre has so many different things going
on. Full variety theatre, we have something for everyone. Well, this particular show is Legends of
American legends, yeah, or something like that.
And so he's got all these old singers and stuff. But when he was booking the show in, he used to ring me through the night, like 4 o'clock in the morning. But he was in New York and he'd want to talk figures and how many seats does the theatre hold and blah, blah, blah.
So you're tucked up in bed?
Tucked up in bed.
He's obviously having
my phone's
dinner.
Always on, because if the alarm goes in the middle of the night, I have to get up and go and check the
seats. So would you have a conversation? You wouldn't just go, mate, I'm asleep?
No, I'd have to have the conversation. My husband was going, is he joking?
Yeah.
I'd just go downstairs. I'm on the laptop at 4 o'clock in the morning going, you've sold this many seats. Blah, blah, blah. Wow. So me and him built up quite a bit of a rapport. He was such a nice guy. So when we eventually met, he was like, I can't wait. I can't believe I've met you. You're so nice. You're such a nice producer. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So anyway, his show goes ahead and he's got this long, like, leather coat on during the show.
Fabulous.
So he comes to me at the end. He goes, Chantel, can you look after my coat for me tonight? And I was like, yeah, I'll just lock it in the office. Fine. Can you please look after it? Michael Jackson gave me this coat and it's worth
$50,000. Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, yeah, fine, yeah. So I takes his coat off at the scene.
Were your nerves gone?
Yeah, what I thought. Imagine.
Bag of
nerves. Imagine if you got broken into. Anyway, yeah. Luckily we didn't. But he goes, will you walk me round to my car? Like, yeah, yeah, no problem. So I'm walking round backstage. Mm. And I'm in the stage door, like underneath the little ledge of the stage door.
Has the show finished at this point?
Show's finished. Everyone's gone home. But he likes to like de-stress in his dressing room and stuff. Okay. So his driver went off to get the car. So this Mercedes pulls up by the stage door. And we're in Charles Street. It's teeming down with rain. The street lights are on. It was quite picturesque, really.
I love this story.
I've got his $50,000 coat over my arm.
It's like an old movie, isn't it? It's so romantic.
So he goes, you know, a lot of people say I should get up. My accent's rubbish.
No, it's not. Dead good.
Get up and sing. And I went, oh, can you sing, David? Yeah. And I'm trying to be really nice. And I'm thinking, oh, I wish I could get home. Want to go home. It's past midnight. Yeah, I've had enough. And he goes, yeah, do you want to hear me sing? And I'm like, yeah, of course, that'll be lovely. So he breaks out into Frank Sinatra, My Way, and now the end is near. And I'm like, oh,
and it's
echoing all over the street. And I thought, he's just going to do like a verse and a chorus.
But there's houses, isn't it? Totally surrounded. So imagine David Guest in your street.
And we were like face to face, dead close in this little cooey, like sheltering from the rain. He didn't just do a verse and a chorus, he did the full song crescendoing into the final note, and it's echoing up the streets of St. Helens.
And did you feel?
And he finished. And he went, anyway, good night. And I went, good night, David. And he gets into his car, drives off, and I'm left with this coat over my arm. And I thought, nobody would believe what's just happened to me. I wish someone would have filmed it.
Oh.
It was the funniest thing, but it's something I'll always, you know, when I see like people talking about. It's something I'll always remember.
And you run into the car with Michael Jackson's coat over your head, getting out the rain to go back to West Derby.
Yeah.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
So we're coming up to New Year now.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you're dying for a bit of a night out. I can't remember last time we had a bevy, to be honest.
I know.
Human.
It's been so long.
I know. So New Year. Do you do anything? I remember one year us going for a meal, but New Year, we don't tend to do anything together.
Do remember that year? And then you were shooting back to try and get to your mum at 12 o'clock.
Yeah,
and you were in that mad taxi driver.
She'd been in hospital. And I was like, I've got to be back for the bells. And I left at like 4 minutes to from town.
From town?
And ended up sat on the couch in Walton way before the bells happened.
Because you told the taxi driver, I'll get you home, love.
Yeah, I was like, I've got to get home. I've got to see my mum. She's just come out of hospital. I've got to be there for the bells. So have you made plans now the little one's getting a bit bigger? Are you going to do something this year?
Do you know what? No, because at St. Helens, I'm cruel. I put a show in on New Year's Day.
Have you got a New Year's Day?
Yeah, just the one. Well, years ago, when I had Jensen and we used to have New Year's Day off, there's nothing to do.
No, that's true, yeah.
There's only if you want to go shop for a new couch at DFS or something like that. They're the only places really
to
open.
To kill or die from a hangover.
Yeah, so
or
unless...
get yourself over from a house party well, you've ended up in.
Yeah, I always think the grandparents have got the kids if the parents have gone out.
Yeah.
So then they're dying of a hangover. The grandparents are looking for something to do with the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the parents are looking for something to do with the kids. And the last 3 years we've done the New Year's Day show, it's been absolutely chock-a-block because... they want something to do with the kids. Everyone's off. Loads of people are off and they're looking for something to do.
It's a bit like Boxing Day, isn't it? You either sit in and look at the walls or you get up,
and do something. But there's so much more to do on Boxing Day and luckily no one's tapped into the New Year's Day shows yet.
Oh, look, now they'll all be listening to this now and everyone will have a New Year's Day show.
But yeah, we just have the matinee in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So the last couple of years I've just took it easy and just stayed in, you know.
And I think as part of the cast, you don't tend... to have a mad one on New Year's Eve.
No. You know, I know all the dancers do when they come in, wreck the next day.
They get away with it, the dancers.
They're all young, aren't they?
Yeah, it's the rest of us that struggle.
Me with my bags down to my gym.
Yeah, that's a good plan. So I want to just finally talk to you about your dream casting. So I know when you book a cast for Panto, you manage, they call it like talent manager, don't they?
Yeah.
So if you get someone who's a bit highly strung or high maintenance, it's Chantelle's job to keep them sweet. No matter how much they're getting under her skin, she's got to smile and wave, as we say in the business.
Yeah, be their contact.
Yeah, listen to the moans and be there if they phone you at 4 o'clock in the morning and they're kicking off about something. That's part of your job. Mm-hmm. So if you could do that for anyone, I'm talking, your budget is like £10 billion to bring someone to St. Helen's Theatre for Christmas Panto. Who would it be?
Okay. So, say if I was doing Cinderella.
Okay.
Okay. So, I think I would have Prince Harry as Prince Charming with Meghan Markle. She's an actress, isn't
she? She's going big. So,
I'm going big. Meghan as Cinderella. Yeah. Prince Harry.
Yeah. He loves dressing up. He's always doing
fancy
dresses.
And he looks like a proper laugh, doesn't he?
You know, he's the type of song.
Yeah, and he's the type that you want. You got to have a nice person on stage and off. They can be the nicest. They can be the biggest celebrity. Sorry, but if they're a bit like crappy backstage, it brings the atmosphere down. And I think he looks like a proper laugh.
Yeah, okay.
Because she's a good actress, isn't she? So I bet she'd be really good.
She'd be fabulous.
Can she sing?
I reckon she'd have a go. She looks like a singer to me.
Yeah,
she holds herself like a singer.
Yeah,
can imagine her singing classical.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Wouldn't she?
Yeah.
So we've got Cinderella and we've got the Prince box.
Okay, and then fairy godmother, I would have Holly Willoughby. I think she's like the nation's sweetheart at the minute, isn't she?
She'd be lovely. She'll be good only because of that. What's that makeover show Khloe Kardashian does?
Yeah.
Imagine she was the fairy godmother.
Or you could have three ugly sisters and have Kim, Khloe. No, but I love them. I love the Kardashians, but as a marketing tool, those three as ugly sisters and Kris Jenner as the stepmother. They'd be brilliant.
What a pantomime that would be. Yeah. So we'll look forward to catching that.
Oh, yeah, when my budget's massive.
When you win the Euro Millions, that might happen. But for now, have the best New Year ever.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks so much for coming in and having a little jangle with
us. Loved it.
And hopefully we'll get you in. We'll get you in another time and we'll chat about all things Scouse and fabulous.
Love it.
Love you.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes Store.
Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool
via ladiesofliverpool.com.